Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the dueling club, learning one spell at a time.
Welcome back, everyone. We're sorry we were gone for so long, but here we are, the Dueling Club podcast. This is Jen.
And this is Al. And if you hear squawks, those are my pigeons.
I call
them pigeons. They're cockatiels.
They're cockatiels. What are the names again?
Coco and Jolly.
Isn't Coco a dick? I mean, not a nice one. Or is that Jolly?
No, it's Jolly.
Oh, okay. So Jolly isn't so Jolly?
Naming schemes work like that sometimes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm grabbing something yummy to munch on.
Like Harry isn't very hairy. I'm just saying.
This is true. And Rubius Hagrid?
That was terrible. I regret that.
Totally not that red.
Everything that's happening, I don't like this right now. Let's stop. Okay. So, we haven't posted in nearly a month.
Let's run down.
Basically, she had a cold. Then when she was at the latter end of that, we both got depressed and didn't want to do anything for a weekend. And then I got a cold.
Well, and in between that, we also had some family stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then I got a cold, and this is my second week on the cold / whatever.
And now I have pink eye.
So I don't know. We're having a really bad time.
Yes, and you know what? You know what's keeping us going? Harry Potter. That's what's keeping us going.
Realistically, it's my girlfriend who's keeping me going at the moment.
But realistically, it's my guy.
But Harry Potter does help.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, Harry Potter and Hogwarts will always be there for us.
This is true.
Okay, and there ends the cheesiness.
We tried to record last weekend, even when I was still sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sick now, whatever. But yeah, the mic stopped.
No, he was really bad.
I was really bad last week. Turn your heckin' phone off.
I will.
So yeah, we tried to record last weekend, and then the mic just broke, so we ordered a new mic, and we're using it now, and hopefully it sounds good, better, worse. I don't know. We're just hoping for better.
We're actually just hoping for the same.
You know what? I like it.
I'm not super fancy. I'm not hoping for miracles here. I just want things that work and work properly.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I've also had problems with things in my place. Like, there's a pipe that's leaking, and I had to have the handyman come in and fix it. And he finally showed up after me complaining for 2 months that this pipe is leaking.
Yeah, lovely.
So, I mean, that's cool.
Yes.
That's who texted me, and that's who I'm responding to. But I will turn the sound off because my guy might text me, and that would really...
You're talking a lot.
Yes. Sorry.
It's okay. So, season 2, episode 4.
Or otherwise, episode 17?
Nope. Season 2, episode 4.
Okay.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Safety Secrets.
Secrets.
Exactly. So chapter 5, The Whomping Willow.
Yes.
So go, speak your
stuff. Speak my stuff. Okay, before we know it, it's almost time for our favorite people to go back to Hogwarts. Although Harry has been looking forward to going back, being with the Weasleys at the Burrow has been the happiest month of his life, he says. Which is interesting because this past Christmas was his happiest Christmas ever. It seems like everything in his new life in the magical world is better than anything he's ever dealt with Dursleys, including, you know, almost being killed by Voldemort and Quirrell.
Yes, this makes sense.
Yeah, almost dying is better than living with the Dursleys. Let's just put that into perspective for everyone. They celebrate their last night at the Burrow with a sumptuous dinner that includes all of Harry's favorite things, including a dessert of treacle pudding. Which, again, you and I tried to say this yesterday when we tried to record as well, but both of us were not having it because my eye was really hurting.
It wasn't even just that. It was, we're 15 minutes into recording, and then the family comes in and doesn't go away.
Yeah, and they make tons of noise. Yeah. Except for the baby. The 4-year-old is the one who was the quietest. How is that even a thing? But anyway, We need to try treacle pudding and treacle fudge, Knickerbocker glories, all of these things that are in the Harry Potter books. We need to do those things. We should do this in a vlog on YouTube where we just try everything.
We can try. I'm apprehensive, but we can try.
I think we should. Anyway, and I think it's really cute that you see the family dynamic of the Weasleys, where Molly is the one who always makes sure that everyone is taken care of. She makes sure that everyone has enough food. She's always thrusting extra helpings onto Harry. Arthur is like, hey, Harry, I really like you. Not just because you're the one who defeated he who shall not be named when you were 1 year old, but also because you know all these things about muggles and I want to know them too. And isn't it during this time that in the movies he's like, what is the function of a rubber duck?
Yes.
I think it's so cute. And let's see. Ginny very clearly has a crush on Harry. And Ron is the best friend who makes sure that Harry, you know, feels like he's right at home. Percy is Prefect Percy. He's all on his own. And, you know, Fred and George, they even do their own part by making sure that everybody's lives has a little bit more fun in it.
Yeah, they're just goofy. They're just goofy, like, siblings slash, like, I don't know. Those people. I like the twins.
Me too. Fred and George actually end up setting off some fireworks. So, and it says, they filled the kitchen with red and blue stars that bounced from ceiling to wall for at least half an hour. Go, twins. The next day, they get a really late start to get to London to catch the Hogwarts Express, which makes sense because it's 8 people, 6 large trunks, 2 owls, and a rat, which makes certain, almost.
I wonder how difficult the logistics are when dealing with a rat.
Well, we see later on that Scabbers likes to run away. So I'm going to say probably pretty difficult.
Yeah.
At this point, he's not running away too much. He's still around for the most part. And he seems like he's a little lazy bones. So he might not be too difficult to wrangle.
Yeah, maybe.
But it looks like Ron is a little forgetful as well. So, you know.
Ron is a very special person.
Yes. So they actually put everything into the Ford Anglia that's been enchanted to be more roomier. Or roomier would have just been correct. Anyway, whatever. And Molly's like, oh my god, we don't give these muggles enough credit. They really know how to make stuff. And Arthur's like, shooting Harry a look, don't say nothing.
Like, yes, Molly, yes. Harry, shut up.
Yeah. So they start heading off. It looks like they're going to be perfectly on time, maybe even early, and then they have to stop. Why do they have to stop? Because George has forgotten a box of filibuster fireworks in the house. So then they start again, and then they have to stop. Because Fred's forgotten his broomstick in the yard. And I mean, you can't be a Quidditch player without your broomstick.
Exactly.
And then they make it onto the highway. They make it onto the highway. And they have to turn around because Jenny's forgotten her diary at home. So by the time they finally get to King's Cross Station, Molly is furious.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so, because they need to be gone by 11.
Yeah, and she's the person who's always like, you know, make sure you have everything. She's that kind of person, yes. So.
By the time they get there, it's 10:45. They only have 15 minutes left till the Hogwarts Express leaves at exactly 11. So they grab all their stuff, they put their things on little trolleys, and they go to where they can get onto platform 9 3/4.
Yes.
And this is the order they go in. Prefect Percy goes first. Arthur goes next. Fred and George go together, as always. Molly and Ginny go together, which makes sense because, you know, it's her first time going to Hogwarts.
It's good to have that kind of, like, reassurance.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you, if you were 11 years old, wouldn't you want your mom and or dad to go with you into this thing that you know makes sense, that you have to go through it, but...
Well, the thing is that she's already experienced going through getting to the platform and stuff, but once you know that the platform isn't your end goal, I feel like the experience changes, like, a lot. It's not just going to this platform and watching people leave. You're getting on that train and leaving with them.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving behind all, like, safety and comfort that you've known to something that is unknown. Right. And we know from the first book, the twins kind of, like, you know, mess with the younger siblings to be like, oh, yeah, to get sorted, you have to fight a troll. The test is really painful, blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, but it's all in good fun, but it's also really scary if you think about it.
But you know what? I think with Ginny, they do a lot of that, but they also do a lot of protecting with her. So I think that with Ginny, it would be a little bit different, to the point where they'd be like, you know, we told Ron this, but it's really not that difficult. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Like, you're our smart sister. You got this.
Yeah.
Only sister, but hey, you know, whatever.
You're our smartest sister. I'm your only one. Whatever. See, that's how smart you are.
Exactly.
So, with 1 minute left, Ron and Harry decide that it's better that they go together. They start building up speed to go through that barrier between platforms 9 and 10, and crash.
Wow, why'd you get quieter when you said crash? You're talking at this volume, and you go, yes, they went to this, and then... Like,
well, because
that's the opposite.
Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Yeah, but comment. Like, that's in two movies.
I know. I'm sorry, but I had to do that. In my head, it made sense.
I promise you that in actuality, it didn't make
you
sense.
You be quiet.
Okay.
Okay. So the barrier seems to have sealed against them. No matter how hard they try, they can't get through. They literally have been, like, they'll go up to it, put their hand on it, and it's solid. They try to slowly nudge the trolley up to it and through the barrier, and it's solid. They can't. And at this point, poor Hedwig is shrieking in her overturned cage. Muggles are stopping and staring, and...
I mean, even one of the guards, like, says something to them, like... Mm-hmm. Like, what are you playing at? Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. And now it's 11, and they realize they've missed the train, and they have to figure out what to do.
What are we going to do? I don't know how long it'll take Mom and Dad to get back to us. They looked around. People were still watching them, mainly because of Hedwig's continuing screeches. I think we better go back and wait by the car, said Harry. We're attracting too much attention. Harry, said Ron, his eyes gleaming, the car. What about it? We can fly the car to Hogwarts.
Okay. So, definitely 12-year-old boys and their inability to think logically. You would think that they should, I don't know, wait for the adults to come back?
How dare you speak sense right now?
I'm sorry, or, you know, maybe send Hedwig to inform someone that something went wrong.
They don't appreciate when you use logic, and I think they don't either.
I'm the Ravenclaw. I have to use logic. I'm just saying. They could have figured out a way to do this other than taking the highly illegal enchanted car. Anyway. And Harry seems to also be thinking this way, because he says, you know, they can't really do magic. And Ron is like, well, the reason he says it is because he had gotten the notice that they did, that he performed an illegal hover charm. And, you know, you can't perform magic due to the statute of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And Ron's like, no, even underage wizards can use magic in certain circumstances under subsection blah, blah, blah of the blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, Ron, you're so cute. You've listened enough to your father to have a little bit of an argument with someone?
It's like secondhand smoke. He has secondhand knowledge.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I heard once that my dad said something about this. I'm not sure, though. Like, okay, sir. And I'm pretty sure that subsection is, like, they're allowed to use magic in, like, life-threatening situations. I'm sorry, not getting to school is not a life-threatening situation.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Unless you're Hermione, then it's
definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Could you imagine Hermione being like, I must use magic to get to school.
I can't be 2 minutes late. How dare you? Like,
yes.
Invents her own spell as well on the way. Like, okay.
I mean, she would be the one.
She would be.
Yes. How dare you?
I've had one.
I know. Okay. No, there's still... So, I bought these cool... Side note. I went to the store before I got here, and I bought a bunch of little candies for us to be able to munch on while we record. And Trolley, you know how they make those sour candies? The sour gummy bears and the sour gummy worms?
People might not know that.
Well, in the United States, they do.
Okay. It's a brand called, like, yes. Trolley/Trolley. Yeah. And they make gummy candies.
And it's typically the sour ones that they make.
Yes.
I found these little, they're called Sour Bright Blasts. So they're little cubes of gummy sour candy that has like a little sour liquid on the inside so that when you bite into it, you get a little bit of that liquid. They're so good. And I know that we mentioned trying to go low carb before, and we totally are.
I can't do that while writing.
Yeah, when I'm sick and when things are not going well, it's very hard for me to make good choices. So,
you know, standard.
Yeah, all of us, we all want comfort food when we're not feeling well. So I need to break that habit and go back to eating well because I do better when I'm eating well.
Yes.
Anyway, back to this. Harry even tries to suggest waiting for the Weasleys because he can't figure out how they'll get home. But Ron is like, well, they can just apparate.
Which is the ability to disappear and reappear
somewhere. And seemingly reappear instantaneously.
Sometimes. Which, I've brought this up before, there is the fan fiction James Potter series that does really nice logic behind apparition, where it's not instantaneous. Again, this is all fanfic. This isn't factual. JK has not said this. She also has not said that this information is canon, just that she's okay with the series being a thing as long as the author doesn't ask for money in return for copies of it because it plays off of her stuff. And it's that when you apparate, you actually spread your atoms to, like, the corners of the universe. And then because you're focusing so hard on another location, they recombine at that location.
Headcanon accepted.
Yes, and that takes, a couple of seconds for it to happen. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I feel like that adds a logic to...
Well, and it also makes sense, because if you think about later on, when we see instances of apparition, we see that it's not instantaneous, number one. And number two, we see that that the people who are apparating can only go to places they actually know or have been. So they can't be like, I want to go to Zimbabwe if they've never been to Zimbabwe.
Yep.
Moving on. So Ron is like, the only reason they don't apparate is because all of us kids who still live at home are underage. So Harry, who has a little bit more logic than Ron in this instance, and has tried to come up with reasons why they can't, like, does the equivalent of shrugging and saying, okay, let's do it. So they decide they're off. They use the invisibility booster that Arthur mentioned earlier when he was trying to convince Molly to use the magical features of the car to get there faster, and she adamantly refused. Mm-hmm. And they get up into the sky, and everything is cool, but right away they find out that it's faulty because it shorts out. So they have to go up into the clouds, only dipping down every once in a while to catch sight of the Hogwarts Express to make sure they're headed in the right direction. Because again, it's like everything around Hogwarts is shrouded in mystery or magic. So you can't really know where it's located. So although you know that it's somewhere in the UK, and most people can kind of figure out it's somewhere in Scotland, they don't really know where it is, so they have to follow the train. It's a new adventure! What is it with them in adventures? I mean, they're Gryffindors.
They literally cannot have one moment of peace. It's always about going ridiculous.
I want one. I'm gonna grab two. Ha ha.
I'll grab a green one too.
Why am I half green, half blue?
I love it. Okay. Anyway. New adventure. They seem to be having, again, the time of their lives.
Well, they do in the beginning.
Yes.
They have a really great time. But then it gets cold and they run out of food because they only bring candy because, again, they're kids.
So listen to this. When they're in the sky, this is what it says. It was as though they had plunged into a fabulous dream. This, thought Harry, was surely the way to travel. Past swirls and turrets of snowy cloud, in a car full of hot, bright sunlight, with a fat pack of toffees in the glove compartment, and the prospect of seeing Fred and George's jealous faces when they landed smoothly and spectacularly on the sweeping lawn in front of Hogwarts Castle. Mm-hmm. But like Al mentioned, several hours later, they're sitting in the Enchanted Anglia, wishing they were actually on the train below them. They're thirsty, they're tired, they're cold. And this is especially true that they wish they were on the train once the car starts whining and groaning.
Mm-hmm. Which is very scary when you're who knows how high up in the sky
and
like a metal death trap. And you're 12. Yeah, like, yeah. Lord.
So they finally see Hogwarts in the distance, but the car starts to shudder and lose speed. So picture that. Imagine the car is whining and groaning. Now it's shuddering and losing speed. There's steam coming out from the hood. And while they're over the lake, the engine sputters and dies. Holy moly.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So, they are super happy. My phone is just all kinds of explosive right now. I know. So, they see that they're there. They're like, okay, if we can just make it a little bit farther, they happen to land in a tree.
Oh.
Which you would think, okay, cool, we're in a tree.
It's not that fine. Cool. Care about nature, everyone. It's a tree. Yeah. It's important.
We love trees. Trees help us. Oxygen is a thing. We need it.
Because if you hate trees, you're a goofball.
Yes. Unless you're allergic to them, then I can understand
then why. Admire them from afar. Yes. Okay.
And appreciate the function they serve in the exactly. circle of life.
I appreciate that. I actually watched the new Lion King trailer, random aside.
Uh-huh.
Scar does not look good.
I didn't see it.
He looks like very ratty, very thin, and his mane isn't black.
What?
And his eyes aren't green, which is fine, because they're trying to be a little more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lions with black manes. So yes. Why did they forego the black mane on the lion who specifically has one?
I don't know. Other aside.
Yes.
I'm drinking a cold brew coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Do you know that they have a new flavor for the cold brew of chocolate cherry?
Really?
And I almost got it, but I went the safe route of vanilla.
Isn't chocolate in like a specific cherry, like, doesn't it have like a culinary name like Black Forest?
That's the kind of cake.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
In the culinary world, when it's a specific kind of cherry and chocolate in, like, a baked good.
Yes.
Is, like, Black Forest.
Absolutely. And I think that it would be a good combination, especially with cold brew, because cold brew tends to be a little bit... To me, it's, like, this velvety taste to it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want it. I wanted to just have a little bit of cold brew, and now I'm wide awake.
No sleeping.
I'll fall asleep in a little while.
Yeah, you really will.
I've had coffee since for as long as I can remember. One of my favorite memories when I was 3 is stealing sips of coffee from mom's cup and then stealing some from dad's cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had coffee my entire life. I love how
your favorite coffee memories are theft.
I'll tell them so. Well, because they wouldn't give me my own cup until I was like 6.
Well, that is their mistake.
I know, right? Anyway, so back to this. They land in a tree, and they're like, woohoo, we're so lucky, we landed in this tree. except for, you know, Ron's wand looking like
death.
Death, because it's almost completely severed in half. And then they realize sometimes when you hit a tree, it hits back. Yeah. Because it turns out that they landed into the one tree that hits back.
Yes. The one tree on the Hogwarts ground.
All of Hogwarts.
Was trained by a boxer, unfortunately.
Yes. Womp. Womp, womp. I see what you did there. At the very moment something hit the side of the car, his side of the car, with the force of a charging bolt. Ron's.
Okay. Let's keep it together.
Oh, no. Harry.
There you go. See?
Sending him lurching sideways into Ron, just as an equally heavy blow hit the roof. What's hap-? Ron gasped, staring through the windshield, and Harry looked around just in time to see a branch as thick as a python smash into it. Interesting that they mention a snake. The tree they had hit was attacking them. Its trunk was bent almost double, and its gnarled boughs were pummeling every inch of the car it could reach. Arrgh! I made him sound like a pirate. My bad.
Yeah,
said Ron, as another twisted limb punched a large dent into his door. The windshield was now trembling under a hail of blows from knuckle-like twigs, and a branch as thick as a battering ram was pounding furiously on the roof, which seemed to be caving. Run for it! Ron shouted, throwing his full weight against his door, but next second he had been knocked backward into Harry's lap by a vicious uppercut from another branch. Holy moly.
We're done for.
Yes.
Go.
He moaned as the ceiling sagged, but suddenly the floor of the car was vibrating. The engine had restarted. Go, car!
Reverse!
Harry yelled, and the car shot backward. The tree was still trying to hit them. They could hear its roots creaking as it almost ripped itself up, lashing out at them as they sped out of reach. Holy crap, that car was not having any... The tree was not having any of it. Neither was the car!
No, the car was not about it. So, the battered car manages to escape the vicious tree, and then promptly ejects Harry, Ron, their luggage, and Hedwig before quickly driving off into the Forbidden Forest. The car literally went like, I'm getting the heck out of here. You guys figure this out. Bye.
Like, did you just see what you put me through? No more of this.
Poor car. I appreciate the car has, like, a sentience now. And it's just like, I hate everything. Ah. That's me.
Aww.
No, it's adorable. I love it.
It was definitely too great a distance for it to traverse.
Yeah.
Do you like my use of the word?
It's an older car, and they put it through its...
paces.
Yeah.
Well, and again, they had just used it a month before to save Harry. And they drove the car to Surrey and back.
You act as if you know how far the distance is.
Hey, it sounded good, didn't it?
I guess.
But they drove that car a very long distance. Is that better?
Yes.
Once before, a month before. And I mean, they didn't have any problems then, but it hadn't flown this much of a distance before. As a car, I'm sure it probably could have done the distance with no problem driving.
But it was flying.
Yes.
Your eye is freaking me out.
Don't look at it,
though. Okay.
It's freaking me out. It hurts, okay?
Okay.
Okay. After being unceremoniously ejected from the car, they make their way to the castle, hoping to catch the feast and maybe even the sorting ceremony, because Ron wants to see Ginny being sorted.
I don't know. It's like a thing of pride. Like, that's my little sister. I want to see it happen.
I know. And you know what? Considering that they're the ones closest in age... Because remember, the twins are 2 years older than him. So, the twins had each other.
The twins always give the impression of being, like, much older.
Yes. So. But it's also because they had each other, you know? Like, yeah. Charlie and Bill have already left the house. They're already doing what grown wizards do. Some of the things that grown wizards do. And Percy can't even be bothered because he's Prefect Percy. and he's too busy trying to figure out how to make something of himself. So those people are already significantly older than Ron. And then you get the twins, who are their own unit, who are 2 years older than him, and really like to mess with him. As much as they can. I think
a little too much, honestly.
Yeah, I think, well...
Not at this point, later on for sure, though.
Well, we also find out that they have a history of messing with him.
Yes.
We'll mention those things when they come up.
That is next book.
Well, no, this book as well.
The thing, though, with Teddy Bear?
Yes.
That's the one I think is, like, a bit much.
Yes. Well, and there is also the thing that happens in, what is it, the sixth book?
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to say it because it really is a spoiler.
It's a huge spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, technically it's not, but it technically is.
So we're not going to say it.
It gives important information. Damn, you ate the hell out of them.
They're so good.
I know, but relax.
Well, I can buy some more next time.
It's fine. I'm just saying. It is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal what they do. So
they really like to mess with him. And then you have Ginny, whose birthday... I don't remember when they say her birthday is. I'm going to look that up.
By the way, because I've seen this happen in another podcast group that we're in, people didn't know how to pronounce Ginny's actual first name.
Ginevra.
It's not Ginevra. It's Ginevra.
Well, okay. So I think part of it is because it's very close to Guinevere.
Yeah.
That people want to kind of pronounce it that way. But her name is Ginevra. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually says it in the book later on.
Uh-huh.
In one of the later books. Yes. Seven? Right?
Yes.
Okay. But her name is... If you think about it, it makes sense when you try to say it. But whatever. It's fine. So
her name is Ginevra. Okay.
I think it's a really cute name.
It is a pretty name, actually. I really like it. Yeah.
So Ron's birthday is March 1st. And Ginny's birthday is August 11th of the following year. So they're a year and a half-ish difference between them, but they're the ones who grew up the closest, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, from what we know, they like to play Quidditch together. They do things together, and she's kind of a tomboy because, hello, she's got 5 older brothers. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, she's 3, 2, 6. She's got 6 older brothers.
I don't want to count one of them. You know which one.
I know.
I hate him. Okay.
I know. But we have to.
Yeah. So she has 6 older brothers, so naturally she's
a bit more tomboyish
because she has to put up with them.
Yeah. But it seems like she actually really likes Ron.
I think she really likes all of her brothers. I think she's the kind of person who finds the things about them that they exude and, like, appreciates those things. Like, when she's with the twins, she's more of a jokester.
And a bit of a rebel.
Yeah. When, you know, she's talking to Percy, she's a little more proper, she's a little more reserved.
And when she's talking to Ron, she kind of likes to give him crap.
Yeah. She just is sort of, like, really, like, empathetic with that. And I appreciate that about her a lot.
About book Ginny. Ginny kind of sucks.
Let's not talk about movie Ginny.
She's
the greatest disappointment in the series.
Well, I mean, other than Bill and Charlie.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
But this is a character who is main to the story.
And they treat her like she's nothing.
Exactly. So that's my issue.
She's so mad.
Yeah.
Because I really do like her. I really like that J.K. wrote such wonderful female roles in her series.
Yeah.
From McGonagall to somebody we haven't met yet, Luna. I'm just saying her name. They are amazing. They have their own personalities. And all of them are these strong women in their own right who aren't going to take crap from anyone.
Yeah, that's one thing I can definitely give JK is that she wrote very relatable and empowering female characters.
Yes.
To show that, like, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be odd. It's okay to be smart. It's okay, you know, to embody all these things that aren't classically termed or defined as being feminine, but still being feminine and also very powerful. So, yeah. I know you didn't hear a single thing I said because you're staring at your phone, but that's fine.
No, I agree with you.
What did I say?
That it's she made relatable and strong female characters, and you appreciate that, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just found out that one of my friends is going through something really difficult, and I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
Okay.
So I feel off.
Do you want to finish this then, like, quickly? Because we're almost done anyway.
No, there's nothing I can. As much as, okay, so you guys know, I've mentioned it before, that I lived in Reno on the West Coast, Reno specifically, for 10.5 years, and then I moved back to the East Coast, at this point, almost a year ago. Can you believe it's been a year?
It's been very long.
It has. I feel like somehow it's been longer, but whatever, because my year has been dragging with all kinds of illnesses and whatnot. I have a very large group of friends back in Reno who on other parts of the West Coast who I miss dearly and who I keep in constant contact with. However, there's very little I can do when one of them is going through something except be there for them as much as I can, but there's a 3-hour difference and I don't really have a way of monetarily helping them at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I hate that one of my friends is going through something difficult right now, I can't do anything except eventually message her and be like, I love you and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well,
back to Harry Potter.
Yes.
So, yeah.
They get to the castle and see what looks like the sorting in passing, and notice that Snape is missing from the feast.
I did put Professor Snape.
You did, but I refuse to give him that respect.
But, I mean, he is technically a professor.
Fine. They wonder aloud what it could mean. Hang on, Harry muttered to Ron. There's an empty chair at the staff table. Where is Snape? Professor Severus Snape was Harry's least favorite teacher. Harry also happened to be Snape's least favorite student. Cruel, sarcastic, I almost said sadistic, wow.
Well, I mean, true.
He has his moments. Sarcastic and disliked by everybody except the students from his own house, which was Slytherin. Snape taught potions. Maybe he's ill, said Ron hopefully. Maybe he's left, said Harry, because he missed out on the Defense Against the Dark Arts job again. Or maybe he might have been sacked, said Ron enthusiastically. Or he might have been sacked. Anyway, I mean,
like that he said it enthusiastically.
Yes. I mean, everyone hates him. Or maybe, said a very cold voice right behind them, he's waiting to hear why you two didn't arrive on the school train.
Dun dun dun!
Ah! So Snape catches them and has them follow him into the dungeons, which is his office. Which his office is in, rather.
Yes. Because that's where he has his... I love that the professors all have their offices and their quarters near where they teach.
Well, it makes sense. No one wants to walk across the castle to get to their classes.
Yeah. But it's like, really? You're going to put the potions guy in the dungeon?
I very deeply imagine that Snape is not a morning person.
No. I very much imagine that he doesn't go to sleep until the middle of the day after he's taught all of his classes and is asleep and is awake at night to troll the corridors, hoping that he catches Ron, Harry, and Hermione doing something they're not supposed to so that he can deduct hundreds of points from Gryffindor.
Yeah, probably. He's just like on the off chance
yes.
that they're off snooping like they do sometimes. I will get them. And they will lose the house cup, and I will win! Because, like, it's no secret that Snape gives the Slytherins way too many points just because they exist. Malfoy, you tied your shoes well! 10 points to Slytherin! Like,
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a little excessive. Anyway, so again, Snape makes a comment about how some things aren't good enough for famous Harry Potter. Seriously, Snape seems to have a hang-up on this more than Harry does.
Well, it's,
it's like, all right, dude.
Well, he mentions that, like, oh, they were seen, and then the Whomping Willow and all that stuff, that he went to examine it. And that's when he goes about, like, oh, nothing is good enough for Harry Potter, trying to make a scene, obviously, kind of thing. It's like, bro.
They were cited by 6 or 7 muggles in total.
Well, sorry, stuff happens. Like, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me? And I love that Ron is like, he's like, and you did serious damage to a tree, a beloved tree on the grounds. And they're like, dude, I think it damaged us more than we damaged it.
Which is actually kind of sad in the next chapter, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, the next book.
No, in the next chapter.
True. In the next chapter as well.
Yeah.
But in the next book, it makes more sense.
I don't know. I feel for the tree in the next chapter.
Yes.
But,
So he threatens to have... He says that if he could decide their fate, that he would expel them right then and there, but he can't. Enter Professor McGonagall!
Well, no. He also mentions about Ron's dad and what's going to happen because of that, because he works for the ministry. He basically says everything mean that he possibly can
because before that's who people
get there. Yeah, that's who he is. He's...
And I hate the fact that he does it when nobody's there.
Yeah, that's why he does it so quickly. He goes, you were seen, what were you thinking? Of course something's good enough for Harry.
And where's the car now? You know your father's going to get in trouble for this.
Yeah, it's family friendly, but he's a dick.
I think we're allowed to say that. Okay. He's a big old douchebag.
Yeah.
So enter Professor McGonagall, my favoriteest ever. And the boys feel terrible. Terrible.
So, hold on. Is it in the book or the movie? I think it's the movie.
Which one?
Where Dumbledore comes in, where Snape is like, well, if you were in my house, I'd have you expelled.
And then Dumbledore, he says that too.
Okay, and Dumbledore comes in and is like, well, lucky them that they're not in your house, basically.
It's essentially in the book as well. And if you hear that, there are people around making noise. It's fine.
Yes, it's okay.
Yes. So, Professor McGonagall comes in first.
Yes.
Well, after, you know...
Dumbledore's little spiel.
Snape's little spiel.
Well...
Because Dumbledore Snape, doesn't come Snape's in
until later. Snape's berating, and then yes. Dumbledore's comment, and then...
Well, no. So, in the movie, that's the way it happens. In the book, Snape does all of that first.
Yeah.
And then McGonagall comes in. And then McGonagall does her little thing where she asks them to explain. And then Dumbledore comes in and Harry has to explain again.
Yeah.
Okay. So, McGonagall, the boys feel terrible. They explain everything to...
What the heck was that?
I don't know. Okay. They explain everything to her and she's like, why didn't you send a letter by owl? Because, you know, Harry has one. And I'm like, yes, McGonagall, why didn't they send an owl?
Okay, listen here. I know that you're a McGonagall stan, but you need to relax.
I'm just saying...
She's logical. We all understand this. They're 12 years old.
I know.
I'm surprised they can tie their shoes at this point, to be honest. Maybe Draco does deserve the points for tying his shoes well. I don't know.
And Harry gaped at her. Now she said it. It seemed to be the obvious thing to have done. I didn't think that, said Professor McGonagall, is obvious. Damn, McGonagall, just drag them, why don't you? They've already been beaten by the Whomping Willow.
There's literally a mile of mud, and she grabbed him by the ankle and just dragged him through it.
I know.
Idiot child, like, jeez.
I love it. Okay. And now, the headmaster enters. Albus Dumbledore. And he's much worse than McGonagall, not because...
He gets loud. It's because he's so disappointed in them.
And he quietly says, please explain.
I could feel it. I remember when I read it, and I felt my heart tighten up. Because, like, okay, McGonagall, we know her as very strict.
Yes.
But we know Dumbledore to be more of the soft hand, the very logical and calm person.
At this point, yes.
Yeah. And then he goes, like, please explain. Like, it's so disappointed. Like, oh, yes. It's literally like I just brought my dad a test from school and it's like a 70 and he's just like, okay. It just gives you that look like you could have done so much better. It hurt when I first read this.
Mm-hmm.
Even now it still kind of hurts. It's like, damn.
Yeah, so Harry explains everything, being very careful to pretend that somehow the car didn't belong to anybody.
It was on the street and they could fly and become invisible. No big deal. Standard muggle car.
And both boys are convinced they're going to be expelled.
And Ron even says, like, we'll go pack.
Yeah. And Dumbledore assures them that they're not going to be expelled, at least not this time. And it goes, not today, Mr. Weasley, said Dumbledore, but I must impress upon both of you the seriousness of what you have done. I will be writing to both your families tonight. I must also warn you that if you do anything like this again, I will have no choice but to expel you. And it's like... Damn, even the way he chose to word that.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's
believe me, I don't want to expel you, but if you step out of line, I'm kind of, my hands are tied.
It's filled with, like, disappointment and, like, regret and, like, please don't do anything stupid. Please don't make me expel you. Yes.
And Snape, who is visibly seething.
Of course, because it's like Christmas is taken away again, mm-hmm. You know.
So Snape and Dumbledore leave to go back to the feast.
At Dumbledore's suggestion.
Yes. And Ron is like, hey, can we go too? I want to see the sorting. Because I want to see where my sister ends up. And McGonagall's like, you've missed it. But don't worry, she's in Gryffindor. And he's like super happy about that. And at the mention of Gryffindor, McGonagall sounds points. Like she... Yes. She's like... Well, considering... And Harry's like, wait a second. All of this happened before the school year started, so I don't think it's fair for you to take points away.
Which she...
She kind of smiles, and mm-hmm. She's like, okay, fair enough.
You're right.
But you're going to get detention, both of you.
Which is fair.
And they're like, okay.
They should have gotten so much more than just freaking detention.
Well, and even though she's angry with them, she's not going to let them go hungry. So she conjures up a platter full of sandwiches.
It's a platter that constantly refills with sandwiches.
As long as they're still hungry.
Yes.
It's just going to refill. And like a pitcher of pumpkin juice.
I wonder if that constantly refills or if she's just like, that's enough. Because the pitchers are big. So...
I would say she's probably going to make it magically refill because she knows that they've been flying in a car, so she doesn't necessarily know whether or not they've had enough liquid during that.
Even when she's disappointed and upset at what they've done, she still cares for them. She still takes care of them.
Mama McGonagall.
She is. That's why the cursed child is dead to me. Sorry.
But we're not going to get into that right now, okay?
We will just
say that I am more willing to accept it than Al is. But I also have my problems with it.
How could you?
Because JK sanctioned it as canon.
Yeah, well, she also... Never mind. I'm not going to bring up the Crimes of Grindelwald stuff.
I just... Okay, we'll talk about that later, but I will talk to you after we finish this about some of this.
One last thing before we continue is for someone who loves McGonagall so much...
That's what I'm going to talk to you about.
They did her so dirty in that.
That's what I'm going to talk to you about. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. Okay. Stop putting it in there because then I'm going to have to delete that.
There's not... People will find out on their own if they haven't seen it already or
whatever. Okay. So, they eat and eat until they can't eat anymore, till they're full. And then they go up to Gryffindor Tower. Which, I mean, there's these kids, these little kids who do this every day. Who go up and down to their tower. It's just same like Ravenclaw, because Ravenclaw's also in a tower. They must have, like, phenomenal legs. All of them.
Oh, if you got kicked by a seventh-year Hogwarts student, you're done.
Well, not even, like, it's the Hufflepuffs or the Slytherins, because they're down in the dungeons and near the kitchen.
All their classes are still above them.
True.
So it's still... There's still movement.
Yeah.
It's not as much as Gryffindor's and Ravenclaw's, but it's still a lot.
Yeah. If you get kicked by one of those students, you're like, ow! Ow! Internal bleeding! Ow!
Yeah, you get kicked by a Gryffindor, you're done.
Or a Ravenclaw,
you're done. It's over.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I just had to say that. So they go up there, and that's when they realize that they don't even know what the password is.
Luckily.
As always.
Hermione comes to the rescue.
Yes. And she also mentions that there are these ridiculous rumors
that are going around.
That are, it's supposed to be are, leave me alone, that are going around about how they got there, only to find out that the rumors are true. And she's like, what the damn hell?
My thing is, how does everyone know?
I bet you Snape said something.
Snape was like, listen to what Potter did.
He probably said it to, like, Draco. Because he has this affinity towards Draco, and that we kind of understand later why. But he has this affinity towards Draco that makes it seem like Draco can do no wrong and that he's just going to tell Draco everything.
Yes.
So that Draco can make Harry's life a living hell.
Yes.
Because, I mean, having been raised by people who hate him and living in a cupboard under the stairs for 10 years of his life, no big deal. Let's just also make the one thing that makes him happy also terrible.
Yes.
No sympathy for Snape.
Snape is an idiot. So, they are let into the common room by Hermione, who happens to know the password, thankfully.
And they're greeted by everyone.
Literally everyone in the Gryffindor house.
Yes.
Is like, oh my god, you guys are amazing.
Except for Hermione, Percy who's mad. Hermione,
yeah.
And Percy, who's disappointed, because he's Percy the Prefect.
Yes, yes.
I always call him Percy the Prefect in my head, because that's what he was most happy about.
That's his literal defining trait, is getting this position in school as if it actually matters.
Prefect, he ended up being, later on, he ends up being head boy as well.
Which is Prefect 2.0.
Yeah, and it's like, those are his crowning, well, and all the owls he got. But those are his crowning achievements.
But the thing is, that's okay, but it also defines him, which is like pathetic, because it puts him on a power trip. I'm better than everyone else. I'm smarter than everyone else. Like,
well, he wanted... Jesus. This is why I always thought that Percy maybe should have not been a Gryffindor. I think Percy should have probably been a Slytherin.
He cares too much for power.
He cares too much for power, and he's ridiculously ambitious. But I understand, because what he really values are the things that put him into Gryffindor.
Yes. So we continue.
Yes.
Ron grinned guiltily at Harry. I know I shouldn't have enjoyed that or anything, but the dormitory door flew open and in came the other second year Gryffindor boys. Seamus Finnegan, Dean Thomas, and Neville Longbottom. Unbelievable, beamed Seamus. Cool, said Dean. I did that like Jim Dale, by the way.
Yes.
Amazing, said Neville, awestruck. Harry couldn't help it. He grinned too.
Of course. They're 12-year-old boys, yeah, who made this grand entrance in. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's like, man, I wish you had told me. Even the twins were like, why couldn't you tell us that this is what you were doing?
Your notes left that out, and I was upset. I was like, bring up the twins.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It did.
It did. Oh, but I was going to just say that.
Yeah. But the twins are, like, impressed and, like, amazed.
Which I think helps Ron's family cred.
Not just that. It helps his conscience, though, because like,
he always feels like he's
yes
second best.
Yeah, and he did something that no one has done before. Yeah. So that's his, like, first time that he's stood out from all of his brothers.
And he's not technically just another Weasley. At this point, he's Ron and Harry. And not just Harry Potter's friend. It's Ron and Harry.
Or Harry and Ron.
But you know what I mean. Like, in my head, I tend to put him first because he's got the shorter name, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But he's not just somebody's brother or somebody's friend. He's one of two people who did this crazy, insane thing.
Yeah.
And who didn't lose house points for it.
Yeah, who didn't get expelled or even lose. Like, nothing happened. Like, it's a detention. Wow, let's do some lines.
They're like, what? Oh.
Well, I don't know. Don't.
Yeah,
But apparently the dungeons aren't that good, because the one time they went on detention last year, Harry almost died, so
yeah,
that's great.
And I mean, trolls in the dungeon.
I don't trust these detentions anymore. I just don't.
I don't trust these teachers anymore, where they're like, we're going to give you detention. And they're like, oh, okay, well, I remember having one Saturday morning detention where I was upset and not very happy to be there, but I mean... Recently, in movies, Saturday detention, Jumanji. Like...
Yeah, I don't know.
What is going on with schools?
Yeah.
But that is the end of chapter 5, The Whomping Willow. And I hope you enjoyed us getting back to being ourselves and our crazy little tangents.
Somehow I haven't coughed that much, or like at all, really.
I haven't coughed at all. Look, asthma medication works.
You're basically okay. I'm the one who's dying.
Well,
besides your eye, just take it out.
I was telling Mom earlier, I was like, I can't believe I've made it to 30-ish, I'm not going to say how many years, but I can't believe I've gotten to this age, never had pink eye before. I have it now, and kids get it all the time. Like, kids are the people that you can't reason with. They want to scratch their eye, rub their eye, blah, 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 blah. I want to pull my eye out of the socket right now because that's how much it's bothering me.
You kind of and feel I for kids now?
I feel for kids who have pink eye. Like, I want to rip my eye out of my socket because that's how much it hurts and is bothering me.
I gotcha. So that's it?
That is it. We love you. Thank you for
sticking
around.
Season 2, episode 4, done.
Whatever. Episode 17, done.
You ruined everything.
No, not everything. Just
almost
things.
Everything.
Shut up.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we'll see you guys soon.
Await our owl.
Whoo. That terrible. Was so terrible. I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
Okay.